I'm reading from the New International Version. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word.
As I was thinking about my sermon for this morning, I was thinking about what Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus would have been doing in the first week of his life. And I thought about all of those new beginnings and all of those new people who would be traveling to Bethlehem to meet him. And that's what we celebrate today as we near Epiphany, this high holy day when the three wise men came to visit baby Jesus, bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when I thought about these beginnings, my mind immediately went to this narrative of the very beginning that we have in the book of Genesis. So today I want to share what life has been like for me in the midst of new beginnings. And forgive me, but it's going to be a little bit more testimonial than teaching or preaching. And I hope that's okay with you. I'm going to tell some stories about Michael and about what our life has been like the last 2.5 months. And help you understand what beginnings look like in our family. The author of Genesis describes what life was like in the beginning when God was creating the heavens and the earth. There was chaos, there was confusion, there was fear. There were many voids that God had to fill in the earth, in the sea, in the sky, and in the hearts of man and woman. This was a time on earth when it was empty, when new life was just beginning to surface. And so when I think back over the last 80 days since my son Michael was born, I remember what it was like in the beginning. There was a time when there was a baby still in my belly, when we didn't know what he looked like or when he would make his big debut. To be honest with you, this time felt pretty chaotic for Joel and I, my husband. We would lay in bed at night and wonder how our lives would change. Everyone tells you it's going to change your life. We wondered how our love would endure, how our plans would need to be reshaped in order to make room for something more perfect than we could design. There was a void in our hearts, a yearning in our souls that could only be filled by the goodness and joy that God was bringing in the midst of his new life. Sometime during the 9th month of my pregnancy, just about the time I was starting to go crazy, I had a dream. It was a typical Hollywood scene of labor and delivery. You know, the kind where you're at the hospital, the woman's in active labor, there's doctors and nurses running around, contractions are coming fast, there's a crazy woman screaming like a banshee in the bed. You've seen the scene, right? That was my dream. This is what I thought it would look like. And it felt like chaos was truly my destiny. But then something miraculous happened. Just like in the book of Genesis, the Spirit of God descended and hovered over the waters where the baby was safe in my womb. There was a voice. God spoke to me saying, "All shall be well. I will be with you. It's all going to be okay." that chaos, that confusion, that fear that I went to bed with that night had diminished. It was as if God had said, "Let there be light," and there was light. For the sun rose the next morning, and I was at peace. Michael Julian took his sweet little time arriving after that. He was 4 days late, don't you know? The little stinker. I was just about ready to drive over to Sky Zone, the indoor trampoline park, for an afternoon bounce session, and labor began. Things progressed quickly. We arrived safely at the hospital, and a healthy baby boy was born in the wee hours of the morning on October 15th. Just like that, I became a mother, and all of you became grandparents. Congratulations! But that chaotic feeling came back over me again when Joel and I were alone in our hospital room on Michael's birthday. We were exhausted. The baby had an insatiable appetite, and our hormones were raging. It's the same as mom's hormones rage, but dad's hormones rage too. The nurse walked in to check on us, and again, God's peaceful presence was ushered into the room. She brought ibuprofen for my aching body, sheets for the pull-out couch where Joel would sleep, and snacks to get us through until the cafeteria opened at 7 a.m. She also showed us how to use that darn remote control that is strapped to the hospital bed. Before the day was over, she would stop in several more times to answer all of our ridiculous first-time parent questions, hear our birth story, and reassure us that we were indeed good parents and that everything was going to be okay. Again, those words from Genesis echo in my mind. There was morning and there was evening on that first day, and God said that it was good. The rest of our hospital stay was devoted to recovery, and soon we were on our way home with a newborn. Joel says that he's never driven more carefully than on that first car trip home. But the feeling of chaos returned once again when we realized now that we were home, we were fully responsible for caring for this small, helpless, squawking creature all by ourselves. We took comfort day after day in the assurance of your love, your prayers, your support, and we trusted that God is indeed always with us. Waves of peace washed over us as family arrived to help, house chores were mysteriously taken care of, and warm food was delivered by you all to our front door. I learned many things on maternity leave, in part because I had such good teachers, doctors and nurses, family and friends, grandmas and grandpas, and my church family. You all, whether you realized it or not, showed me how to love with extravagant generosity, how to pour myself out selflessly to care for another, and how to welcome a new person into the family of God. You taught me, whether you realize it or not, to be compassionate and gentle, patient as we wait for God's timing, and to take time for what is truly important in life. My learning will most certainly continue in 2016 as Michael grows and I begin my fourth year of ministry with you all here at St. Paul's. I feel the Spirit of God hovering here, and I trust that new life is emerging. This year will be one of blessing and chaos. We will encounter opportunities and overcome challenges together. We will serve God and neighbor as we make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we will have to remind each other that the world was not built in a day and that everything takes time. So just as Joel and I seek to establish a new normal at home and at work, at St. Paul's and at Wyoming Park, we will seek to be gracious with you, with one another, and we will be patient. We will continue to draw upon the depths of God's love and steadfast presence as we offer extravagant generosity to Mosaic United Methodist Church, to new friends and neighbors, strangers, and those who need to know the message of Jesus Christ. We will welcome new faces into the family of God, big and small, and we will pray that God's will shall be revealed, and that when we all come together on the Sabbath day, no matter what, God will say, "It is good." Thanks be to God. Amen.